Okay, so we're diving into this document all about identity and access management, or IAM, like you said, for those in the know. And it's basically like the playbook for how organizations make sure the right people get the right access at the right time, but also, just as importantly, how they shut it all down when,
When someone leaves.
Exactly. So, like, those high security government facilities you see in like spy movies.
I can see it.
But instead of like retinal scans and all that, we're talking about user accounts and permissions. And
Precisely. That's a great way to put it.
this document, I'm guessing this is way more interesting than your average employee handbook,
Oh,
right?
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, this gets into the real nitty-gritty,
Okay.
especially section 5.5, when they talk about managing the life cycle of all of those digital keys.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So let's unpack this whole life cycle. And it all starts, I mean, with a new hire, right? Someone walks in the door, a brand new employee. And what jumped out at me here is how important like HR systems are in all of this, like your workday, your success factors. It's not just about sending out welcome emails anymore.
Absolutely. Those systems are like the source of truth, for employee data. Imagine a typo in an employee's email during onboarding. Without that single source of truth, that error could just cascade through, multiple systems, creating not only security vulnerabilities, but also just administrative headaches.
Yeah, that's a great example. So HR enters the data, and then what? Does IT jump in and start creating accounts manually? Is that how it works?
Not quite. That's where the beauty of automation comes in. So once HR inputs that data, it's automatically shared with the company's directory service. And this system is like the gatekeeper of all those digital key user accounts, permissions, the whole shebang.
Ah, so it's like a well-choreographed dance between HR and IT with automation, making sure everyone hits their mark.
Precisely. Automation ensures that new accounts are created instantly, accurately, and it minimizes those, oops moments.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course, IT still needs to,
Fair.
fine-tune access based on specific job roles.
Right, that makes sense. That makes sense. But what happens when someone changes roles within the company? Like, say, a promotion or a department transfer. Do they just keep accumulating access, like digital souvenirs or something?
That's a recipe for disaster. The document really emphasizes ongoing maintenance. Like it's not just a one-time thing. So that means if an employee's role changes, access needs to change too. New permissions granted, old ones revoked, all documented, accounted for.
So it's like changing the locks when someone moves out, right? You want to make sure the old keys don't work. I love that. Now, one section that really caught my eye was about account access review. And it sounds like a digital audit.
It
It's
is.
making sure no one's holding on to keys they shouldn't have.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. It's all about the principle of least privilege, meaning individuals should only have access to the bare minimum. They need to do their job effectively.
Makes sense.
Think of it like a doctor using hand sanitizer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Constantly. It's all about minimizing risk.
Okay. Because let's be real, sometimes people have access to things and they don't even realize they do,
All the time.
Especially in large organizations.
Absolutely. And it's not just about user accounts. We're talking about system accounts, which are used for automated processes, and service accounts for, specific applications. What's fascinating is that these non-human accounts often have high-level access. So it makes regular reviews even more critical.
So those automated processes running in the background, they're like the VIPs of the digital world.
In a way, yes. And just like any VIP, they need extra security measures. Now, this all ties into the concept of provisioning and deprovisioning, which is the controlled creation and deletion of all these different types of accounts.
Okay, so creating and deleting accounts sounds pretty straightforward. But I'm sensing a but coming here.
You're right. The timing of these actions, it's crucial. Create an account too early. It's vulnerable to attack. Way too long. You risk security gaps if an employee leaves abruptly.
It's a tightrope walk.
It is, yeah.
How do organizations even get this right?
The document is very clear. Automation, automation, automation is key here. It minimizes the risk of human error and ensures consistency. Imagine an employee is terminated. and their access needs to be revoked immediately.
Right.
Automation ensures this happens swiftly and reliably.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And it's not just about, like, you know, people leaving the company.
Right.
When someone just moves departments, you want to make sure they don't take sensitive info with them.
Yeah.
Even unintentionally.
Right, right. Okay.
It's like you said, changing the locks, making sure the old keys don't work.
Exactly. Exactly.
But that goes even deeper, this document.
Okay.
They talk about this thing called role-based access control.
Right. RBAC. Okay.
RBAC, yeah. Have you heard of this?
I have. Yeah, I've heard of it, but honestly, I don't really know what it is.
So RBAC is all about efficiency.
Okay.
Instead of assigning, like, permissions to individuals one by one.
Right.
You group them into roles, right?
Okay.
So, like, marketing manager or software engineer.
Right.
And then each of those roles
has
specific access rights.
So it's less about, like, who they are and more about what they do.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like, let's say a new team member joins the marketing team. With RBAC, you don't need to manually grant them access to every tool, every file.
Yeah, yeah.
You just give them the marketing manager role, boom.
Oh, okay.
They have everything they need.
That's a lot more streamlined than, like, chasing down permissions, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so much easier. That makes a lot of sense.
Way more efficient.
What happens, though, if someone needs to, like, break the rules just for a little bit?
Ah, so you're talking about privilege escalation.
Okay, yeah, privilege escalation, right?
This is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Document mentions this thing, the sudo command.
Okay, sudo, that sounds like something a tech wizard would mutter. You know what I mean?
It stands for super user do.
Oh, okay.
And it basically gives authorized users temporary access to higher level permissions.
So if you need to get to a restricted file or something like that, or tweak system settings.
But, and this is key, the document is very, very clear about this.
Okay.
This type of access should be used sparingly.
Okay.
And logged meticulously.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Who accessed what and when needs to be crystal clear.
Makes sense.
You don't want just anyone walking around with that master key all the time.
Right. It's like having a separate credit card that you keep locked away.
Exactly.
For online purchases.
Just in case.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Speaking of different types of accounts.
Yeah.
This document opened my eyes to this whole world of service accounts.
Right.
I had no idea software applications needed their own, like, identities to get to data.
Yeah, it's easy to forget about that stuff because we always think about us users needing to authenticate, but applications need to as well.
Right.
Especially when they're, you know, talking to other systems, accessing sensitive data.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, they need their own accounts too.
So it's like giving the backstage crew their own set of keys?
100%, yeah.
Okay, okay. And just like with human users, we need to be super careful.
Right.
About what doors those keys unlock.
Okay.
Least privilege, regular reviews, audits, the whole nine yards.
Because a rogue script can do just as much damage as, like, a careless employee, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And this applies to cloud environments, too, by the way.
Oh, right, right, of course.
Which is becoming more and more common these days.
Right, yeah, everything's in the cloud.
Your virtual machines, your databases, they all need this stuff.
Okay.
To keep things running smoothly and securely.
It's like we're building a whole digital society now.
I like that.
With different levels of access and security protocols and all this.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So we've talked a lot about who gets in.
Right.
But what about how they actually prove it's them?
Right. That's where authentication comes in.
Authentication. Okay.
And this is where we go beyond simple passwords.
Okay.
The document highlights things like multi-factor authentication.
Right. MFA. Yep.
Biometrics. Yep. Even protocols like Kerberos and Radiuses.
Okay. Some of those I know. Yeah. Some not so much.
Let's break it down.
Okay.
So multi-factor authentication.
Yeah.
That's like adding those extra layers of security to your online accounts. You know?
Right.
You need something, you know, like a password. Mm-hmm. Something you have, like a code from your phone, and then maybe even something you are.
Right.
Like a fingerprint.
So it's not just one lock on the door anymore.
Exactly.
You got the deadbolt, and then you got the chain, and then you got the guard dog.
100%.
Okay.
It's about making it as difficult as possible for that unauthorized access.
Gotcha.
Kerberos and Radius are a little more technical.
Okay.
Imagine Kerberos like a super secure ticketing system.
Okay.
For accessing network resources.
Okay.
You prove you are who you say you are once. You get the ticket.
Right.
And then you can use that ticket to get to different services.
Right.
Without having to re-authenticate each time.
So it's like a backstage pass at a music festival.
Exactly. Yeah. You got it. Radius is similar, but it's often used for remote access.
Oh, okay.
Think of it like a bouncer at a club.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You present your credentials.
Right.
Radius checks if you're on the list.
Right.
And then grants you entry or not.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see how these all work together.
Yeah.
To make things more secure.
Exactly.
It's amazing how much goes on behind the scenes to keep our digital lives secure, you know?
Right. It really is. Like building a digital fortress.
Yeah.
Strong walls, secure locks, vigilant guards.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole operation.
It really is.
But even the strongest fortress, you know?
Yeah.
Needs regular upkeep, right?
Absolutely.
You can't just like build it and forget about it.
Right. It needs constant attention.
This document mentioned this thing.
Yeah.
Open ID Connect or like OIDC.
Right. OIDC.
What is that all about?
So OIDC is all about streamlining secure access.
Okay.
Think of it like using your driver's license to get into a bar.
Okay. Now I'm intrigued. Go on.
Your driver's license proves who you are. Right?
Yeah.
You don't need a separate membership for every single bar that you go to.
Right.
OIDC works similarly online.
So instead of creating new accounts and passwords for every single website.
Exactly.
I can just use my existing credentials from like Google or Facebook or something.
Precisely. Secure, convenient. You probably use it all the time without even realizing it.
That's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's like having a digital passport.
Yeah.
That grants you access to this whole world of online services.
100%. That's a great way to put it.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. From the moment someone walks in the door
mm-hmm.
to the different ways that they prove who they are to get to stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But this document stresses that it's not a set it and forget it kind of thing, right?
It's absolutely not.
This isn't like, you know, setting up your Wi-Fi router and then just forgetting about it.
Right.
So the digital landscape's changing all the time.
All the time.
New threats are popping up left and right.
Constantly. Yeah, this document really drives home the importance of ongoing monitoring and adapting.
So you kind of constantly be on the lookout, like almost paranoid about new vulnerabilities and...
Pretty much you have to bake that into the culture.
Oh.
It can't just be like an IT problem, you know?
Right. It's got to be everyone's responsibility.
It really does. Yeah. Think of it like maintaining a garden.
Oh, okay. I like that.
You got to water it. You got to weed it.
Yeah.
You have to make adjustments as the seasons change.
This has been a real eye-opener for me.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
It really is. I feel like I have a whole new appreciation for how complex all of this is.
Yeah, it's more intricate than most people realize.
Yeah.
But it's like the foundation of a secure digital world.
Right.
And I think the more we understand it, the better decisions we can make about, you know, keeping our own information safe, as well as advocating for these types of things within our own organizations.
Well said. Well said. This has been great.
Yeah, this is fun.
This deep dive has been a wild ride.
Yeah.
Through the world of digital keys, security protocols.
It's a lot.
It makes you realize that cybersecurity isn't just about the algorithms, the firewalls, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's about people. It's about processes.
Absolutely. It's a human problem.
It's a shared responsibility.
100%.
To keep our digital lives safe and secure.
Well said.
This deep dive has given us a lot to think about, that's for sure.
It has, and we've only just scratched the surface, really.
I know, right? It's such a fascinating and constantly evolving field.
Absolutely.
And this document really did a great job at laying out the groundwork for, you know.
The challenges.
The key principles, yeah.
It's a good starting point, for sure.
One question that I'm walking away with.
Yeah.
In a world of increasingly sophisticated cyber attacks,
mm-hmm.
what new authentication methods are we going to see in the future?
Right, because the bad guys aren't just going to stop. Right?
Yeah, exactly. They're always one step ahead.
It's a cat and mouse game.
It really is something to ponder as we log off for today.
Indeed. Food for thought.
Thanks for joining us on this journey.
Appreciate it.
And we'll see you next time for another deep dive.
Looking forward to it.
Into a topic that matters.